Good Friday morning, Friday, December 14th, 2018. This is Over the Back Fence with Scott Spears and Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, how are you? What is it now? 11 days from the big day, the big Christmas holiday.
Yes, it is. And boy, is that sneaking up or what?
It's coming right up, and we had this extra long Christmas season this year with Thanksgiving being on the 22nd, but it still sneaks up.
You know, it's kind of interesting. When I look at the Old Testament history and the holidays and the feasts and the festivals as described in the Old Testament, most of them went on for days. They were just not one day and gone. And, you know, I almost wish that about Christmas, that we could have maybe the 12 days of Christmas, or you could have, it wouldn't just be, it's such anticipation, and it's such a build-up getting to it, and then we celebrate the one day, and the next day people are rushing back to work, they're trying to get their lives in order. Wouldn't it be nice if we could have, like, say that on Christmas Day was just simply a religious holiday that we did, and we celebrated the birth of Christ. And then the second day would be a day where we had personal gift giving within our families. And the third day was a day when the family came together and ate. And the fourth day was the day that everyone just rested and recuperated. Wouldn't that make it a lot more fun?
Well, it would. And one thing I notice is that for whatever reason, people, and you never know their beliefs. When I go through the line and get something to drink at McDonald's in the morning, when I go to the store and look around, people with Santa hats on,
yes,
people with their, I saw a lady last night with a brooch that was just Christmas themed, you could see. And people save these for this one month,
yes,
for this one time of year, and they keep them. You know, how we are a throwaway society. We talk about this all the time. But people keep their Christmas sweaters. They keep these hats.
Yes, they do.
And they wear them diligently, which is what always, I think.
Oh, my mother did.
Yeah.
She had Christmas trees that lit up on her sweaters. And it's funny, she's handed some of those down to my wife over the years and to others. And it's kind of fun to watch. It was interesting, the other day I was at a Elgin Schools has a senior luncheon that they do once a year, and it's for all the seniors in the district. Matter of fact, Mary Ellen Withrow was there.
Oh, good.
I'm Secretary of the Treasury. She was there, and she usually attends those Elgin events. She sat on our board at one time. But anyway, she was there along with many, many, many others, and I think our oldest person there was in their mid-90s. And I was of the youngest group. I just turned 60 this year, and you had to be 60. But anyway, what I was getting at, as I looked around, most of the staff, school staff, were wearing really colorful and funny and great Christmas ties. And I have some of those, but I really haven't had much of an occasion to wear them this year. I will.
Well, what this will be the fifth year we have done our big Christmas party, which we also do on air. It's an on air thing, but it's that one time of year where everybody who does a show here is together, and that 2 hour period, which by the way is next Tuesday, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. But what's so interesting about that is, now we have, as we've grown over the years, this 5 year period, we have probably about 13, 14, 15 people who do shows throughout the week. And not one person I can think of has said they can't come to that party because it's a fun event.
Yeah, and I think people need more fun in their lives. That I'm sure the fruitcake toss was a lot of fun last night.
That was fun. Now, here's an interesting thing. In feet is what we measured it in. Underhanded, you had to toss it, because if you flung it, it would break, obviously. But if you tossed a fruitcake, what do you think the long toss was last night?
Without it breaking?
Without it breaking, underhanded toss.
30 feet.
55.
Really?
55. Yeah, you know, everybody got over 40, to be honest with you. We had two people who tied, because the longest distance we could go, because we were inside because of the cold, was 55 feet. And the way they hit, they might have gone 57 on a roll, but they weren't going to go much past 55. And then we had somebody at 46 and somebody at 42.
That's great.
It was a lot of fun. And I don't think anything like that had ever been done.
Well, you know what? The poor fruitcake, man, it takes so much heat.
Well, let me say this. We all tossed the same fruitcake, and it didn't break. So that tells you the potency of a fruitcake.
How old was it?
Current.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So these fruitcakes are heavy-duty things.
Was that the size?
Yeah, we tossed these Claxton fruitcakes. We did not pad them. The floor was like...
They're good fruitcakes, I must add.
Well,
fruitcakes go.
We bought three because I thought for sure... We needed one today, but I thought for sure we'd go through two. I thought at some point it's going to break. Didn't. We used the same one.
Took it out of the wrapper.
No. No, the wrapper didn't even break. Maybe it was the underhand, but you think about this. An underhand toss of 55 feet, and it went 55 feet twice. Never broke.
You know, I'm talking about my mother loved fruitcake, and so did I. When I was a kid, I worked at a gas station, and this may sound horrible. I hope everyone is settled in their breakfast already. But I would go next door. There was a little quick stop store next door, and I would go next door and get a Claxton fruitcake and a quart of chocolate milk for my dinner at the gas station. But my mom made an amazing fruitcake, and it was a thing that she did every year. And of course she had to have all her specific fruits. It had to be aged. You know, she wrapped it in what looked like brown paper bag paper, and it was soaked and wrapped and soaked in. She used peach brandy, I think, but her fruitcakes actually were very tasty and amazing, and very moist and not dry. But I haven't been able to duplicate it. I've got a recipe, but I haven't been able to quite duplicate it.
Well, it's interesting because these fruitcakes I don't like, but I do know somebody who does. So I'm going to give them to them today since they're left over. But I can eat a fruitcake that's homemade. There was a lady, and now the name escapes me, but a lady last year who heard of my dislike for these type of fruitcakes, and I've been complaining about that for about 4 years, brought in her fruitcake, which she made personally. Now, that actually tasted like cake. To me, these don't taste like cake. They have a little different taste.
Well, I'll tell you, I can see what you're saying, I suppose.
I think those are fruit wax.
Fruit wax. Well, they hold. Well, from the sounds of the toss, they held together pretty good.
You could not toss this lady's fruitcake. It would break. It would be like a regular cake.
Yeah, my mom's would.
Yeah, these won't break.
Those won't break.
No,
they just hang in there.
No.
But you know, it's fun this time of year. Things that we do and helping people out, and I just really want to encourage people to grasp the season. You know, I hear so many times people tell me, and I'm dealing with some friends right now and different people I know, that this is their first Christmas without a loved one they've lost. Now, that's something that always seems to come up, and it tells me that Christmas is a very important celebration and holiday to people, and a very important day, because they always relate that to not having someone the first year for that. And I guess what I want to say is that if it's that important to you, that it's going to be if you were to lose a person, how about we make this one the best we can? You know, how about putting aside the family differences and the, oh, I hope that person doesn't come, or it'd be easier if they stayed home, or those kind of things, or worrying about that last little gift that maybe somebody might need or want, or just be happy with what you have. And I got to tell you out there something else really important to me. When someone gives you something, it's so important not to steal their joy. And what I mean by that is appreciate the gift and show appreciation regardless of what it is. Because that person got you that hoping that you would.
Yeah.
You realize
yes,
that?
Yes.
They got you that thinking of you and hoping that you would. Rarely are people just going to go out and say, let me get something for so-and-so and grab it. If they're going to do that, they're going to give you a gift card.
Well, see, this to me goes back to the conversation. I think we started this a few weeks ago, and the closer we get to Christmas, maybe it's more on point, that Terry Tackett and I have had every year about the gift cards.
Yes.
Because, and I've always said, it's you could give me a $1 gift card. That's not the point. It's not that, you know, I don't want a gift card because I can't afford what I want to buy with it. That's not the reasoning behind not getting the gift card. The reasoning is because once you get older and you really do grasp the idea that it's better to give than to receive.
Yes, you do.
And once you grasp that, I think the other thing that gets left out in that parable is that it's the thought that counts. And for some reason, I have always found gift cards just to be a quick fix. That I can grab this. I don't have to wrap it. I don't have to do anything with it. And if somebody on your list is say, hey, I want a gift card from there, and you want to do it, okay, that's fine. I understand that. But if nobody said specifically, I want one, I think you're doing that just to be expedient in what you're doing. Because I think you can do something very inexpensive. You could do something for under a dollar if you made it. If you painted me a picture that didn't cost you anything, I'd be fine with it.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I will say this about gift cards. Sometimes there's those of us or someone out there that really has a need.
Absolutely.
And you're not sure what their needs are, but you know they have needs. And to you, one of the best things you can do is give them a gift card to a place where you know they have needs. And that is a kind giving gesture that is not just, that is a good giving gesture. And I think that, you know, we need to kind of take that into consideration a little bit also.
Well, I'll tell you, for an example, there are gift cards to grocery stores. And I know a lot of business owners who do that at the holiday. Now, see, to me, that's okay. Because that maybe is either done for a need or so they can provide Christmas dinner. Christmas dinner's on me. Now, to me, that makes sense. Also, oddly enough, a lot of people are into gaming. And there are these Xbox cards now and things. And if you have the means to do that, and that's what they want to do because that's what they want, I think that's okay. The situation I'm in is I don't know what to get this person. I'll get them a gift card to a place that you don't even know if they've ever been to. It's not because they need it. It's because I have no idea what to get them. Yeah, I would much rather just be, like I said, I would like the homemade thing. I would like the thing that didn't cost you a dime. Because to me, like Christmas cards, I'm silly this way. I keep old Christmas cards. At the end of the season, when I take them down, I throw them in the box with all the other Christmas decorations. And the next year, 11 months later, when I'm pulling them out, I see those cards. And they end up piling up as the years go on. But I've realized now how many of those people are gone. Now, those cards, what are they called? Back when they were sending them, now they're a little more expensive. But back then, 35 cents, 25 cents, you know?
You know, when my mom passed away a few years ago, we were going through her things, and I came across, she had kept every card I think every one of us kids had ever given her, written her, anything. And to go back and read some of that stuff and realize that that meant something to her and she kept them. And I think you're right. And it's real interesting. How many of us have, and I know you shared on the show last week that you have a memento that was made for you years
yes.
ago. And I shared, my wife has this little snow globe she made in first grade. And I didn't know her then, but I like looking at that snow globe thinking my little first grade wife made that. And those are things, it's half full of water, it's had its better days, but that just, I think that we have to get past a lot of this craziness, don't you?
Well, that's it. And I think one of the things that drives this season, and this is my last thing about the gift cards, is I think when it comes to the situation I've spoken about, I think people end up spending more money than if you want to get somebody a gift. Now, the minimum on a gift card I have really ever seen is $10. Some people can get five, I think, but
not in McDonald's places like that. Will kick out some $5 ones.
But it's usually 10 is the minimum. You can sometimes walk into a place and find something really interesting for $10.
You can.
So, to me, that's always been, because I've always equated gift cards with somebody in a hurry who maybe can't wrap or doesn't want to wrap. And I think that's also something interesting of the season, because I think wrapping, like baking, we're getting away from that. Not that you have to do it, but that used to be something that people got together to do, and it was an art form.
I know it. I mean, you're right, and there isn't much of that anymore. I know at our Christmas gift giveaway blessing of the church, we had ladies setting up at tables wrapping gifts, and that's great to be able to do that, and the parents take the gifts home wrapped. Some parents, I'll be honest with you, now this will make you feel great, when I tell you this. Some parents asked for wrapping paper and tape, and if they could take it home and wrap them themselves, because they wanted to feel that part of it.
Well, back when the mall was a very busy place, because Christmases have passed, Marion's bookstore was located in the mall, and so was a toy store, and there were a lot of stores in the mall. And I used to go in, and I'd buy my gifts, and I believe it was the Harding Booster Club would be there wrapping gifts. Mm-hmm. And I used to love to stop by and make a donation and get my gifts wrapped there, even though I now wrap my own gifts. But I did that because it was a chance to talk to the kids, you know, what instrument do you play?
It's kind of a twofold gift, wasn't it?
It really was.
You gave a gift to them of helping. They gave a gift back to you as a threefold, actually, and you were giving a gift.
It was something I enjoyed because the mall was always beautifully decorated, Christmas music playing. A lot of times they had choirs there because it was the Booster Club, and you'd hear these beautiful hymns, you know, like Silent Night mm-hmm. and the First Noel. And it was a real experience that I think if you weren't born in the last 20 years, you'll never experience that. And it's sad because it was a thing. It was a thing to do.
I think the more that our world becomes secularized, the more we're seeing this. There's a certain hope at Christmas time that I think we're seeing a lot less of in our country. And I think that I challenge people out there. And I think Scott, I don't like to speak for Scott, but I think that he would agree with me that it would be wonderful to get back to some of your roots and to try and simplify things a little bit. Take a lot of the financial burden out of Christmas and do more family things together. It was real interesting. There was a lady that had posted on a site that she needed, was real, what am I going to do for Christmas for my son this year? And she listed all these gifts that she thought he could use. And quite frankly, they were all gifts that I wouldn't get my own children. They were so expensive. But a lady commented to her and said, you know, she said, one of the years that we had nothing at all, she said, was one of the best years we had. And she talked about baking cookies with her daughter and those type of things they did with Christmas music playing and how wonderful that was and just the time they had together. We last week had our youth group on Sunday night came over to our house and they baked cookies. And then tomorrow morning, we have a women's breakfast tomorrow morning at the church, and they'll be selling those cookies to give to a mission fund that goes overseas. Mm. So, you know, there's kind of more of that twofold thing. Actually, I don't know if they'll be selling or they'll be taking donations. But by the way, that's at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, and that'll be at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. If you ladies would like to come, anybody, ladies want to come and enjoy a good free breakfast. And have the opportunity to get some of these cookies, too. It'd be a great time. But those are simple things you can do. I know we're going to be doing at some point, we're squeezing her in here. We're going to be caroling over at Primrose. And possibly, if I can twist some arms, we might go a couple other places. But, you know, it means so much to people just to have that simplicity. I used to look so forward as a child to going to my grandmother's. And just the differences of the smells and the cooking and the anticipating. And we'd watch the parades on the old black and white. We'd watch the parades and just that wonderful time of getting with cousins and sharing that we hadn't seen all year. And there just wasn't a lot of going out and playing with simple things and catching up. And I think that we need to look at more of that. You know, we have a Christmas Eve service at 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve, obviously, at the church at Community Christian Fellowship. And it's not a long service. It's usually about a half hour. But it's such a warm time of coming together and reading Luke's account of our Savior being born. And then we sing and close in a candlelight service as we all sing Silent Night together. And it's just, we usually have a few cookies floating around. And it's just a warm, wonderful time to come together before everything gets really busy. And, you know, we're out of there by 9:30 and people can go back home and enjoy their time together. I encourage families to do that, to tuck the kids in at that right time. But up until then, watch a Christmas movie with them. Finish doing the things you need to do. Maybe make some hot chocolate. You know, folks, I have to tell you out there, and once again, I'm going to speak for Scott because I know he'd agree with me. You don't have to be financially well off to enjoy.
You know, a matter of fact, what I believe is if you're not financially well off, you have to be more creative. And I think the creativeness is what creates the memory.
Absolutely.
And I also think it's kind of interesting because another thing that I have a funny perspective on, it's just not the gift card thing, but it's when people go to gift exchanges. Because usually the reason I hear that happening is because we say, well, it's either we don't have the finances or we don't, we can't buy for everybody, or my family's bigger than yours, or something like that usually prompts that. And I always think, again, that is sad to me at Christmas time. Not that you don't have the finances, that happens. But it's that we can't be, would somebody be upset if you didn't go to a store? I mean, would somebody be upset if you made them, there are all these crocheting and wonderful artists, and a snow globe is not hard to make. A Christmas ornament is not hard to make that you can hang on your tree every year. I guess what I say is I think the things that drive these things that we now have become norm with, gift exchanges, gift cards, all seems to be financial. And I don't understand that. If I had zero money, if I had zero money, I would scrape together $2, go buy 12 ornaments, and do something with them and give those to 12 people.
Sure. You know, my mom was on a very, very limited budget during the years that she was a widow prior to my stepfather. And I remember her making stuff for months. And, of course, she was an artist, so that helped. And she made us all Christmas bulbs and individualized them and those kind of things. And I know that a couple years ago, there's a girl, Leah Sauter, in the church that drew a picture for me and gave it to me at Christmas. And, you know, that was, I hung it on my wall in the office. And those kind of things, folks, don't be embarrassed if that's what you do. My son-in-law's grandmother, Jan Bradley, most of the things she gets, everyone for Christmas is one of two things. She either knits it or she bakes it. And that's wonderful. It comes from her loving hand, and everyone knows it.
You know what's funny about that when you say that? People think, not all people, but people think, well, I can't bake something for somebody and give it to them for Christmas, but yet they'll go to a store and pay $10 for a tin of popcorn. Now, what's the difference?
I don't know.
None. Except one tends to be less expensive if you're a baker, but they both.
You know what I just got the other day? Not to interrupt you.
No, go ahead. I it's an interesting.
Just made me think about it.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law sent us it must have been a 5-pound box. It was 2 feet long and a foot wide, if not bigger, and about 5 inches deep of individually wrapped Cheryl's cookies. And wow, you talking about foundering yourself on sugar. That'd be easy. But, you know, they were great.
They were great. Well, what I am not a big fan of candy. I've never just been a big fan of candy. But, again, like we started out saying, if somebody gives me candy or a candy box, I don't say, oh, gee whiz. I say, oh, thank you very much. I appreciate this because it's the thought that
gives
counts.
But it gives you candy to offer to people when they come.
And that's it. I'll do two things with that. Either I'll offer it up on Christmas Eve, or if I, one year I got a lot of it for some reason, and I just gave it along to somebody else. Because something edible, I don't want it to sit there and spoil.
Right.
So I give it to somebody who I know likes candy. But I don't tell that person I did it. And I don't think they would care anyway.
I'll school teachers get a lot of, well, I don't know if they used to. My sister always has. You know, she's been a kindergarten teacher for 40 years, and she always got lots of gifts at Christmas time, and a lot of gift cards at Christmas time. And I do believe she does a fair amount of re-gifting.
Yes.
I don't want to put her on the spot, but, you know, I would. I mean, there, you can't use all that stuff.
The problem with re-gifting to me is when the person finds out you've done it, who gave you the gift.
Well, you got to write down where you got it, who it was from, and because right now there was a particular gift that we had at home that my wife and I found in the back of the closet that had never been opened. I mean, the wrapping was taken off, but it had never been opened. And obviously, we probably didn't need it, or we wouldn't have. But we were thinking about we could give that to somebody. But then we thought, we don't remember who it came from. So we're going to use it or do something with it, because I'm not about to offend someone in that way. What if he gave it back to the person?
Well, that's the problem.
Oh,
and I tell you, in families, you know, if somebody gives you something that's not an expiration date, and you do put it in the closet, and next year comes up, and you are a re-gifter, and you circulate it back into the family, there's a good chance the person, who, even if you don't give it right back to them, if you give it to your uncle or another sibling, they're going to see it opened, or they're going to hear, you know, think, now, wait a second, I gave them the same thing last year. That's the part of it. You have to be a little more conscious in how you're doing it, because that does make people feel bad, because they think it's that whole thing about when you get it, even if you are not particularly thrilled with it because it's not something you do or use, act like you are. They took the time to do it.
And you're right. Another thing I'd like to talk a little bit about is our own space. Couple of things I'd like to mention before we get off the show, but one of them is our own space. And what I mean by that is my office is not huge. It's nothing fancy. It's about the size of this office. And I choose every year to decorate it. Now, it's a pastor's office, and of course, somewhere in the pastor's office, you're certainly going to see the manger and those kind of things. But also, I have a Santa Claus hanging in one corner. I got some stockings hanging around and little trees that light up and different things of that nature, because it's one thing that you can do if you have a few ornaments left over from the tree this year and you didn't want to put them up. Find the space where you work. Obviously, if you're working construction, it's kind of hard unless you hang them from the mirror in your truck, and you could do that. But find a space to brighten up your day also. And, you know, these Christmas CDs out there, you can go to any store. You can go to the dollar store. They've got them for a buck in a bin. You know, plug them in the radio. Make a change, a break of what you're listening to for a month, and try to get yourself in a place where you need to be.
You know, the interesting thing I've seen a lot more of in the past few years is people who put the reindeer ears on their car and the nose. And the funny thing about that to me is if you did any alteration to your car like that in the normal part of the year, the other 11 months, the police would pull you over. They'd say you can't do that. People would complain. But at Christmas, it's allowed because it's the change.
What I like is semis. The trucks that have the great big wreaths on the front of them,
yes,
with lights blinking. I think that's great. But, you know, those guys are away from home.
They are.
A lot. And they can't be with family all the time. And I've seen guys that decorate the whole inside of their truck like it's Christmas, and that's kind of neat. But, you know, one thing I know is we talk about things that are free and things we can do, and there are those things. And I'm going to challenge older people for a minute. If somebody wants to come into your home and help you at Christmas, maybe help clean house or do some things, You know, I think sometimes we have to admit there's things that you can't do as you get older. And if someone's willing to do that for you, don't steal their joy. I know it's hard. You know, the older we get, let me do that for you. You can't do it. You know, people always tell me, Pastor, you're not getting on that ladder. Well, there's twofold. One, I am 60 now. And the second one is I'm a klutz and always have been. I used to fall and bounce. I don't bounce so well anymore. But, you know, in a way, you kind of feel slighted. Like, what do you mean I can't get on that ladder? And a lot of people, I know recently we had somebody that had offered to come in and clean someone's house. And the husband took great offense to it. Well, the bottom line is they can't do it anymore, but yet she's willing, and he's still king of his castle. And so let people bless you. And there's another blessing, Scott, that I want to bring up that is so free, and that's realizing that Jesus came to this earth as a baby to grow up as a man, so that he could be that sacrifice for the sin of the world. And I know people hear that and they think, what is that all about? You know, we don't talk so much about things that are wrong and right and absolutes anymore. Well, he came because there was an absolute. God's holy requires holiness. And if we want to be with God, his son had to come who was holy and pay that price for us. And what a free gift. What a, you know, to seek the Savior, to begin that walk with him is a gift you can give yourself. And it's a free gift. And it's a gift you can share with others. And it is a lifelong gift. And to grow every day is just amazing, to be able to do that, to learn new things, to start down a path. There's so much hurt this time of year. I know parents right now that are hurting because they just maybe found out their kids are doing something they shouldn't, or just heartbroken over lifestyles and things and the drug culture. And, you know, there's only one. We have to begin to have hope and to put that aside. It doesn't matter if we try to force ourselves to stop doing wrong. If we don't have a purpose for it, we're not going to succeed.
Well, and I think one of the things, before we move on to that, I think one of the thing about the house cleaning thing that stuck in my mind, I've seen people misinterpret that the wrong way. I've seen people misinterpret that as your house is dirty. And I think sometimes that's a little bit of the friction.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you know, I think the way to approach that with some older people is to tell them, look, I'm here for you, whatever you need. Are there some things that you struggle with at home?
I think that's a better way.
Are there things you struggle with? Well, in this particular case I was talking about, the wife did say, this is where I'm struggling and could use help. And it was the husband that was offended by that, but because he felt that it was his duty to do it. But he's getting to the point that he can't do it. And he felt that maybe he... So it can be a touchy situation, but it is best to say, what can you use help with? Do you have something you'd like? Do you need anything hauled off? Is there anything that's just been really bugging you that you can't get to? And not just to knock at the... Show up with a mop bucket and stuff and say, we're here to clean your house. That can be very offensive to people.
Right, and I think if you approach it in the right way, a lot of people will say... We'll give them. People are creative. They'll make some certificate and say, "You have 3 hours of my time."
Ah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes.
Yes.
That's one that I was. You were talking earlier, and I thought about that. Someone gave me one year. Gave my wife and I. I think it was for an anniversary though, or something like that. They said you have 3 nights of. Of babysitting or something to that effect. I'll watch your kids, that kind of thing. And that's great because that's a gift and people hang on to that. Say, hey, I still got two of these left.
And it's helpful.
And it's very, very helpful. It truly is.
And when it comes to the other part, the statistic that I've seen this year is that 67% of people still see Christmas as a religious holiday. And I think that's great. And I, after all these years... And all the things we see and all the divisions that go on, it is still much more seen, when you ask people, as a religious people, a religious holiday than a cultural holiday. Now, to me, that's still interesting. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think that people put up the tree and have Santa Clauses around. But no, the purpose, right, but the purpose is, in their mind, is still the religious significance of the day. And that's good to know in 2018. Yeah, and one of the funny things is, I always like facts. Like, that to me is a pretty fact within the margin of error of whoever took the poll. So that's a fact. Now, a lot of facts are brought about by decisions people made, but the end result is a fact. And that is one of those particular things. Something in their life, at some point, for some reason, they got the religious significance of the holiday. Now, that was something that happened. Now, however, whether it's an opinion, whether it's a decision somebody made to take somebody to church, whether it's something they still do, go to church on the holiday, it led them to that fact. So that's how I kind of see everything now.
Yeah, I think it is a fact. I mean, people know where it came from. Would they know who was even behind St. Nicholas? And they know the religious significance of it, and there's certainly enough evidence around us. But I think an interesting poll would be a third question. And if you do believe it is of religious significance, do you take part in it? That would be an interesting one.
Well, it's fascinating because I always see the churches more full on Easter and Christmas. So I think the numbers would go up.
Oh, I think they do. Yeah. Not like they used to, though.
No, it's different.
God.
It's different.
You know, it
yeah.
used to be the churches where nobody missed. I mean, that was just something you did. I mean, even if you were bad Johnny, you went to church with mom and dad or grandma that Sunday or that Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or whatever
Day.
It was.
Yeah.
But now people feel much more free to stay home. Matter of fact, church attendance nationwide. When it's held on Christmas Day, is way down.
You know what's funny? They just popped in my head, and this is an interesting thing. One of my grandmothers was a very religious woman, and I have to believe she was that way all of her life. She was somebody who, that's what she did on Easter. That's what she did every Sunday. She was one of those people who went to the Sunday and the Wednesday services mm-hmm. as well, very immersed in the church, till the day she died. But you know what's interesting? Because the celebration was at her house on Christmas Day, I don't think she went to church on Christmas Day.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. In all the years that I knew her, which she lived, 30 years into my life, I don't think she could have, because we were at her house, and I know she did all the cooking. So it was interesting. I don't think this woman, who in my life was probably one of the more religious people that I knew, spiritual people, I don't think she ever went to that church on a Christmas Day.
Well, the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves as believers. It doesn't say when. And as involved as she was all year long, if she wanted to stay home Christmas morning and do these things with her family, so be it. But I guess what I was getting at is that In years past, that was one day. They may not go any other time, but that was one day they went, and at Christmas time. And now that's even waning a little bit. But you know, the thing is that Christmas services, Christmas Eve service, most people can make it to that.
Sure, sure.
Now, I will say this, that, and I've noticed it within my own extended family, is that because of all the blended families today, there's a lot of people that do their family Christmas on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Christmas night, the next weekend. I see a lot of that, so it's really hard to get people freed up. Matter of fact, my some of my children, I know, we ended up being careful when we were doing things ourselves because of traditions they had that were not on Christmas Day.
Well, that's true, and I think I remember, because for many years in Marion, where I've always been, the the biggest attended service. I don't think it's this way anymore, maybe, but was Midnight Mass. And you knew that. The church, for a long time, the Catholic Church was just the biggest building, church-wise, in Marion. And it's interesting because I remember when Midnight Mass was standing room only in the biggest church in Marion. And I don't know if it's that way anymore. I hope it still is. I have not checked on that in quite a while. But it was so packed that they had to put the choir on the second floor, the balcony. You couldn't see. They didn't have room to have the choir on the floor. You didn't even see them. They just were up above because it was so packed. And I hope it's still that way, because I hope people do still turn out in those numbers, because, boy, they used to.
You know, it's interesting, the National Cathedral, there were years past when that was packed. You couldn't even get seating. It was standing room only out the door in Washington, D.C. And boy, times have changed.
It has, and it's a different world in many ways. But I think people argue all year round, and maybe it's not even an argument. People conversate all year round about things that in general have no impact on them by people they've never met. And I don't understand that to a certain degree. If it's your job, fine. But I know 90% of the things that I talk about on the radio, I don't talk about off the radio, because I've done that. You know, I did that.
You're done.
I'm done. I don't have to get off the air and talk about that. Now, if somebody provokes the conversation, I don't leave somebody laying. I try to, you know, go along with the conversation. But it's not something. I'm not an activist in anything, really. You know, I can't think of any group that is an activist group. I belong to charitable organizations, but no activist group. I've never marched on anything. I've never done anything of that nature. So I'll talk about it because it goes along with the job, but I've never done it.
Hey, you know what? I hear you. And that's, I think we just need to get back to a lot of what really is wholesome. What's going to make you, what's going to benefit the next 5 minutes? What conversation you have today that benefits the next 5 minutes? What are you going to do this Christmas is going to benefit you beyond that? You know, something, you know, back to, I was talking about the spiritual side, but the secular side of things. You know, the old movie, A Christmas Carol.
Oh, yes.
With Scrooge and Bob Cratchit and Tiny Tim and the whole clan. You know, that's a good one to sit and watch and listen. To see, you know, as he walks through the different things in his life that could have been different, you know, and to give us that spirit of truly helping and giving. And, you know, I do like that. I'll pass people on the street that don't even know me or in a store, and I'll maybe say something to them, and they may respond back with a Merry Christmas or whatever. And you just see, it's not, why can't we be that all year long? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It'd be nice.
We could be, though, Scott.
We could. And I don't know why we're not. I'm not really sure. I don't know what the inner machinations of that are. There are situations where we're that way. You know, if somebody's ill, or if somebody's fallen on hard times, or some tragedy has happened to them. I see it then. But just in a normal day, normal life, you know, it's strange. If you've lived an uneventful life, I'm not saying uneventful to you, but if you haven't had any big catastrophes, and you make it to retirement, the only time people usually say nice things to you are retirement or a funeral.
I'm in trouble then, because I firmly don't believe. I believe that being a pastor is a calling.
Yes,
and you know that calling never ends. So right. I'm not. I don't have a retirement date. I will quit being active in the pulpit when I start stumbling over my words, and they tell me, "Steve, it's time to go."
Right.
But what I mean is, what I do, I don't think I'll ever retire. Hopefully, they'll say nice things at my funeral. But at that point, I'm not going to worry about it anyway.
That's right.
What I've done and what will have been done.
Absolutely. Now, remember, the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker airs live every Tuesday here on WWGH Radio, 5:10 to 6 p.m., and repeats every Wednesday, 3:10 to 4 p.m., and Sunday morning, 8:10 to 9 a.m. This show will repeat on Sunday morning, 9:10 to 10 a.m., and on Sunday after the Tuesday after the Pastor's Show, 7:10 till 8 p.m., or 6:10 to 7 p.m., right before the Christmas party this week. So it'll be a full Tuesday. Pastor, have a great week.
You also.
Feast. And they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast.